Most Americans don't actually choose who provides their energy. So they don't know what a kilowatt hour costs until the bill lands, and they can't easily tell whether the electricity they're using is cheap or clean. So often their rates spike on hot afternoons and they fall overnight, and they vary wildly by state. So your bill shows up at the end of the month like a weather report for the last week. It's nice to know, but it's a bit too late to do anything about it. So in America, we overpay at peak times and we underuse cheap hours, and our homes aren't as smart as our phones. So for companies trying to fix that, the map is pretty messy. In parts of Texas, for example, you can choose your supplier, just like you choose your phone plan. But in much of the country, you can't. So it's the local utility that is your default. And prices and rules vary from zip code to zip code. So some retailers compete on flashy fixed rates, and others offer time of use plans that help you or reward you for running the dishwasher or charging the car at certain times. But stitching all this together, this patchwork, into something that feels simple for a normal household, that's the real trick. So how about this, okay? What if your energy bill and your car and your heat pump all ran on the same brain and it actually worked? That's the question that Octopus Energy is trying to answer as it expands from the UK into the US. And leading that charge is Nick, CEO of Octopus US. Nick's background is pretty unusual for this space. So he's part startup operator, but also part energy bureaucrat. And before joining Octopus, he helped figure out California's wave of public power agencies. So he's lived on both sides of the line. He's seen the pace of technology and the patience of regulation. So Octopus's play in America and for the fractured grid here is twofold. So in Texas, they act like a straightforward retailer, one of a number of energy suppliers that you can actually choose. They promise simpler bills and smarter tariffs in a market that we all know for its volatility. But in regulated states like California or New York, Octopus doesn't actually replace your utility. They sell it a better operating system, their Kraken platform, that runs customer accounts and coordinates connected devices, so your home can drift towards cheaper, cleaner hours without you really having to think about it. And you might have seen their partnership with National Grid to deliver heat and power upstate in New York and Massachusetts. That's one US example of that B2B2C, business-to-business-to-consumer route, and modernizing these utilities from the inside out. But the big question for Octopus is an American one. So it's very personal to us at Modo Energy too. So ultimately, the question here is, can a software company that totally makes sense in the UK scale to the US with a state-by-state rulebook and do this while navigating IT systems and all the politics that comes with changing how people pay for their power? And scaling in the US is not just about writing plug-and-play code. It's about contracts, it's about trust, and it's about time. So on today's episode of Transmission, I sit down with Nick to unpack how Octopus is testing this new model, mixing retail hustle, software ambition, and a little bit of Silicon Valley swagger, and ask whether the future of energy gets built by utilities or startups or some coalition in between. And quick plug, you can hear Nick speak in Houston in December at the Reuters Energy Live 2025. And the Modo Energy Transmission team will also be there recording new conversations on site with the folks actually shaping what comes next. So if you're thinking of attending that, you can use the code Halloween400 for $400 off your pass before November 3rd. Okay, that's enough from me. Let's jump in. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here.
So I've got EVP North America and CEO of Octopus Energy US. So which one is it?
It's both. When I started, I joined Octopus Energy Group, which is the holding company for our retail businesses, our Kraken technology platform, and the various other tentacle activities. And so I joined initially to think about all of those business go-to-market in North America and areas for increased collaboration amongst them. And then in December, I took over the day-to-day responsibility of our retail business, which is Octopus Energy US, and have since sought to merge more of those activities into a more coherent plan.
behind the scenes, how much tentacle chat is there at Octopus?
Only when we're talking with folks externally. We don't really talk about the tentacles. Okay. I think, though, Kraken has at their events these large tentacles
that they put in their
booths. So that's probably the most tentacle action that we see.
The Kraken booths are pretty rad. So we're going to cover a lot today here. So Octopus Energy needs no introduction, really. We've got these guys behind us who I do believe have a name.
Constantine.
Tell us about that. And by the way, I'm pointing, if you're listening to this, you would have seen these things. They're like stuffed toys, incredible branding that locked Octopi. And we got a couple with us right now.
So early days of Octopus, they had this playful pink design and early website, early billboards, early customer comms. And so one day somebody called and asked one of our first employees who now runs our Electroverse platform, a guy named Matt Davies. They said, "Hey, what's the name of the octopus?" And Matt turns around and says, "What's the name?" And no one in the office knew. So he just said, "Constantine," and stuck.
And now we've got Constantine.
And now we have Constantine. Everywhere. We have a million Constantines out there.
And so, thank you very much for bringing one for my daughters. They are going to fight over it later. It's going to be awesome. So let's talk about the American energy market. We're here to talk about energy stuff. Tell us about the opportunity for Octopus in the US and what excites you about that.
So the US looks pretty different than Europe, where Octopus has grown so much over the last decade, largely because most of the US is not liberalized for retail choice. Texas, yes, consumers can pick their supplier and there's robust competition. 12 other US states have a form of retail competition, but with some pretty significant limits around things like who sends the bill. So in Pennsylvania, yes, I can pick my supplier, but the distribution utility still sends the bill. So the experience for the consumer is still very much sort of vertically integrated traditional utility, not something transformational like Octopus can provide. So as a result, we are pursuing our retail business, the one that we've grown to great scale in Europe, the UK, Japan, in Texas. So we're going direct to consumer, giving them that customer love, amazing experience, 100% renewables, all of that good stuff.
And they get a bill that says Octopus on it. And then they get the app.
They get the full experience of being an Octopus customer. That customer love is the way we think about it, the way we describe it.
Which is a special thing about Octopus. I mean, that is what makes Octopus, there's many things that make Octopus special. I don't want to underplay it. But I mean, in the UK retail market, my home market, the thing that Octopus did so well was focusing on the customer and getting close to the customer and bringing SaaS best principles from other software, verticals straight to this archaic glorified billing function of a market, right?
So I'd say Octopus in a lot of ways is not an energy company. We are Octopus Energy, but we're not an energy company. We're a consumer company that happens to be in the energy business. And we're in the energy business because it's one of the most important things to transform and prepare for the energy transition. It's a massive share of consumer wallet. And so just matters, but we really are a consumer company at our core. So in Texas, that is what we're doing. But outside of Texas, we are thinking about things a bit differently. So in California, for instance, you can't go direct to consumer, but utilities like Southern California Edison, with whom we're a partner, are very keen to give their customers the Octopus-like experience because they are seeing load growth, they're seeing stress, they're seeing rising rates, and customer load flexibility is a way to address that growing concern. So we have developed a business-to-business-to-consumer model where we partner with the utility and we roll out our customer app. And we help to onboard those customers into an Octopus experience to manage the flexibility of an EV or a battery. And then the third go-to-market here in the US is Kraken. And Kraken is very actively working with some of the largest utilities in the country to change their technology.
Just to jump in before, because I want to talk about Kraken in great detail, because there's so much to talk about there. But yeah, coming back to California, so that model where you have partners and they get the Octopus experience for their customers, do they white label that or does it say Octopus? I mean, do they get Constantine, basically?
They get
my question.
Constantine.
And
I think it's quite a discussion that we've had internally. Do you white label? Do you maintain the brand? And I think our view is it's really important to establish a unique customer-centric brand for great energy experiences. And that's not necessarily something that traditional vertically integrated utilities are used to doing. And so when they try to transform themselves to do that, it goes a little bit counter to their DNA. And so, you know, we're happy to be their partner in doing that. You think about finance and banking. You have a bank with JP Morgan, but you still use Venmo to do sort of the more day-to-day transfers. It's the more sort of advanced tech, the more consumer-friendly solution. You still might log into your account, but Venmo is the thing you use all the time. And so we kind of want Octopus and the Octopus app to be that consumer tool that they engage with all the time to save energy and to be more comfortable.
Very neat, very neat. I'm really glad about that because there are so many, in quotes, normal people who have now moved to being active participants in energy markets through Octopus. I mean, it's just, yeah, I think that's an incredibly impactful thing that Octopus achieved. And so that's part of the brand. It's great to see that being applied elsewhere.
The way we really think about it is energy consumers don't want to think about energy most of the time. They want to think about their home being comfortable. They want to, or they don't, they just want their home to be comfortable. They want their car to be charged and they want bills that they can afford. And if we then can facilitate that by orchestrating their devices in the background in a way that's easy and delightful, that also saves them 75% off the cost of charging their electric vehicle, then everybody wins.
So the Octopus play here is actually just get out of the way and do it in the background.
That's right. Make it incredibly easy to enroll your device, communicate very clearly what the benefits of participating your EV in an Octopus program are. You're going to save $25, $50, $75 a month. And then don't ask the customer to do anything else.
All right. Now let's talk about Kraken, which is a hell of a business. Could you just give us a background for our audience about, so a lot of our listeners will be in the battery storage world. They're going to know Kraken for various different reasons, but could you just talk about the genesis of Kraken? Where did it come from? And then all the tentacles of Kraken, where it's going.
10 years ago, when our founders, James, Greg, and Stuart founded Octopus, they actually initially were founding a tech company. They came from enterprise software and they saw that the major hindrance, or one of the major hindrances to the energy transition, was all of the old tech and the complex integration that was needed with that tech to be able to operate a utility. Said, we want to build a single platform that's cloud-based, that's elegant, that's going to just work better. But they also knew that selling to enterprises, especially big enterprises like utilities, is no easy feat. And so they decided, we're going to start our own energy company to be the first customer of Kraken. As it happened, that energy company grew massively over the course of a short period of time. And 10 short years later, it's the largest supplier in the UK. About 5 years ago or so, some of the incumbent utilities in the UK started saying, well, we need what Octopus has. How do we start to operate at that cadence with that customer centricity? Could we license Kraken from you? And the decision was, yes, let's start licensing Kraken. And so now I think while Octopus serves roughly 25% of UK energy consumers, more than 50% of UK energy consumers are served on Kraken because lots of large suppliers are also using the platform. And that's also the case across continental Europe too.
Wow. And is that white labeled? I mean, do people know that they're using an Octopus service?
That is white labeled. They're using Kraken. Kraken is enterprise software that's in the background. So when National Grid, who is deploying Kraken here in New York and in Massachusetts, does so, everything that is customer facing is going to be branded National Grid. And they're just going to be operating in the Kraken environment for billing system and customer service.
Okay, because the customer service one, I was going to ask you about that. I know we're jumping around here, but going back to the Octopus discussion and a partner in California, you know, one of the special things, and I know I used to work at Centrica, of course, a British gas in the UK, and one of the things that Octopus did really well in the UK was the customer support and the turnaround, the response times were just so rapid compared to anything the world had seen before. And so if Octopus is going to use its brand on things in California, how do you maintain the same customer quality? There is a implied quality in service that comes with the Octopus brand. How do you make sure that that California utility is going to honor that standard?
So when we provide flexibility as a service to a utility like Southern California Edison, we staff it with our energy specialists who also serve our retail customers.
Ah, okay.
And that is a bit of the approach that we plan to scale up, is that we want the same people who are answering the phone for our customers in Texas to also be answering the phone for our new customers in California. But the reason we're able to do it so quickly is because of Kraken. And Kraken was built to be AI native. So one of the magic elements of Kraken is a thing we call Magic Ink. So what Magic Ink does, it ingests phone transcripts, every email. And so it kind of knows at any given time what the types of questions a customer will have asked. And so when they call in, or really when they email, it will generate a proposed response that a service agent can look at, modify, and send back quickly. So instead of a customer perhaps waiting a day, 5 days, a week for an email response, they're going to get a response in a matter of hours. And that then gives them the sense of like, okay, they're on top of it. They're thinking about the issues that I may have and resolving them as quickly as they possibly can.
Quick break. If you listen to this show, then you probably work in energy. And at Modo Energy, we're not just talking about the energy transition. We help our users to actually make it happen. All energy storage, solar, and wind assets on the global balance sheet need to be valued and benchmarked. And that's where Modo Energy comes in. Our benchmarks and forecasts are transparent, bankable, and trusted by the world's leading banks, asset managers, utilities, and developers. So if you want to learn more, go to modoenergy.com. And if you want more content like this, sign up to our weekly dispatch newsletter. Enjoy the conversation.
Then thinking about your role and the US business, how do you think about consumers in America taking an active role in power markets? So thermostats, electric vehicles, you know, Octopus has got an incredible, car plus tariff proposition in the UK. I don't know how it's gone with BYD. I assume it's sold loads, right? Is there an equivalent one of those that's coming in America? And how do you think about the Joe Bloggs in the suburbs somewhere moving to the Octopus way of doing things?
I think the core point we focus on is consumers don't want to think about energy markets. They want to think about comfort. They want to think about affordability. And in some cases, they want to think about being more tech forward, or they want to think about green. And so we want to enable that. So when we think about a person's interaction with Octopus, particularly if they're also the customer of a utility like Southern California Edison, what we've done is developed an easy-to-use consumer app where you download the app and you say, do I have an EV? Do I have a thermostat? Do I have a battery? I have two of those. Click, click. Pick the type of EV. I have a Tesla and I have an Enphase battery. Click, click. Those devices automatically sync on the back end to our Kraken flexibility software. And
this is in California right now.
This is in California right now. And then that customer doesn't have to think. They set their consumer preference. That's really important. They say, I need my car charged by 8 o'clock in the morning, 75%, 80%, 90%. They set that preference. For a battery, it might be, I never want it to discharge more than 25%. And then that's all. They don't have to think about it. They just get $400 in the case of our Southern California Edison project. In other cases, it might be a monthly bill credit. Over time, the evolution of that solution is going to be something where a consumer says, I want to save money on my energy bill. They download the Octopus app. We will help them pick the right rate to be on. And then we will optimize those devices against the rate. So they save a little bit every month because they have a time of use rate. Their EV is optimized for the time of use rate. Or perhaps they're doing a little bit of pre-cooling of their home to benefit from the time of use rate. That device will then be connected to our system so that if a utility wants to offer more dynamic programs, the customer can just say, yeah, sure, I'll take $25 a month. Yes, I'll do that. And maybe I have to change my consumer preference to get that $25, but it's very easy. One click, two click. and then everything happens in the background. And that's really where we want to get. We want to, you know, allow automation to handle the heavy lifting, and we want consumers just to get the benefits of savings.
And how do you, I've got to ask this question, how does a business like Octopus and Kraken as part of it do billing in so many jurisdictions? Billing is such a hard thing. It's just, it's, I've said it many times on this podcast before, it's just one of those things that you think, you can talk about it in the bar and you think, oh, it's just adding up, right? It's just my, you know, summing up them. And it is just so hard. So, but then doing that in one region is hard enough, let alone what you guys are taking on as a challenge, which do it in tons of regions.
Absolutely right. And it is actually, I think one of the superpowers of Kraken is its ability to very efficiently be set up for new billing environments. One of the things that we observe in the kind of status quo billing system, which is the systems they've had for a long time, these are big horizontal tech companies who may do billing, but they do other sorts of database. You might have Salesforce. Well, you can build a billing system in Salesforce, but it's not built for billing.
Yeah.
It's built to do lots of things. And so it requires lots of customization and lots of money spent on consultants to do the customization. Kraken was designed to be an elegant billing system for utilities. The result is it doesn't need customization to be a billing system. It needs customization for the local market rules, which are going to be different in Massachusetts and Texas and Tokyo. But also because we were the first customers to move from the UK to countries in Europe to Japan, Texas, we had to build a solution that worked for our use case, which was going to be operating in multiple jurisdictions. And that allowed us to have user and technologist partnered together to do the development of that solution. And then only once we felt like this solution was something that really could scale and move beyond the home market, did we really think about licensing it to third parties.
And then, so to come back to Kraken, I mean, this is the problem with Octopus. It does so many different things. You do jump around. So one thing you haven't talked about yet, which for our listeners, they will probably care a lot about, and some of them will be Kraken customers, is the DERMS control and battery, grid scale battery control systems that you do, and all of the adjacent value that that provides, whether that's in scheduling or optimization or whatever. So how does that part of Kraken fit in, and how do you see that long term?
So Kraken Flex, which has Smart Flex, which is our resi-oriented tool, or Gen Flex, which is our tool for managing utility-scale assets, can operate both as a standalone solution or be integrated into the broader Kraken deployment and Kraken ecosystem. The benefit of that integration is if I am, say, trying to flex lots of EVs, being able to reflect the benefit of that flex easily on the bill and make it visible to your energy specialist so that if a customer calls in and says, hey, I signed up for your Intelligent Octopus Go EV tariff, I don't know that I understand how it's working. Can you explain to me? But because it's one integrated system that does everything from dispatch of your EV to the visualization that the agent has, it's all there. And it's, you know, just easier to implement. And it's seamless both as a user of Kraken for us. It's seamless for Octopus to roll these things out quickly. It's also seamless for the consumer experience. And similarly with GenFlex, that ability to think about how load and generation interact with one another, right? In principle, as a retail supplier, I'm indifferent to whether I dispatch a wholesale battery or I turn down load. Both of them expose me to similar market dynamics. The challenge historically has been you don't have visibility into your load and connectivity between your generation and the load that you may have some control over. So you're not thinking about a co-optimization. You're thinking about separate optimizations. And in the end, because you can't really co-optimize, you're not really trying to dispatch your load at scale. You're just managing your wholesale assets. In an integrated system, you can do that co-optimization, and you can think about at $50 a megawatt hour, what is the optimal asset to dispatch? Should I turn down EVs or should I dispatch my grid scale battery?
That's what Kraken, portfolio effect.
It's a portfolio effect. And that's what Kraken's generation and SmartFlex solutions allow us to do. On a standalone basis, though, we are deploying them. And say for our SmartFlex solution, that is the product that we have integrated into our Octopus app with Southern California Edison. So Octopus has the consumer front end of the app that mimics the customer experience that we give our Octopus customers in, say, Texas or the UK. Behind that, the brains that does the control and the optimization of the EV is SmartFlex from Kraken. Similarly, GenFlex was just licensed by ENGIE in Italy to manage a fleet of batteries there. So what that's allowing them to do is take the software that Kraken has, input their trading assumptions, and they operate those batteries based on their view of market prices, but with the orchestration capabilities that Kraken has built.
So if we just return to the US for a second, could you just give us the lay of the land for Octopus, the group in the US? Which markets are you in? And then what's the roadmap look like? What's coming next?
Octopus wants to be the company that is EVs for everyone. It's amazing customer service. It's elegant technology that's going to empower the electron to be the fuel of the future. And we're pursuing all of those in the US. So Kraken is working with National Grid to deploy their system across their over 6 million customers in Massachusetts and New York. We're also working with Calpine in Texas with their retail customers. And you know, very, very exciting conversations happening with other large utilities across the country to help them improve their customer service, lower costs, benefit from all of the capabilities that Kraken will allow them to benefit from. On the Octopus side of things, we have our Texas business. We are absolutely focused.
Which is an energy retailer.
That's right. It's an energy retailer in Texas, and we are very focused on growing that business. A little bit of a Texas flavor, so probably more batteries than we maybe have in the UK because of price volatility, but growing that business, and we want to be, you know, serving hundreds of thousands, if not millions of customers over the coming decade.
Are you working with Base Power?
We're not working with Base Power at the moment, but a really interesting solution, and we're very much paying attention to what they're doing, though. And then in our flexibility as a service solution, our roadmap is we want millions of connected devices that allow us to engage with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of households on behalf of our utility partners, help them orchestrate those millions of devices to lower costs and deliver better planning outcomes for the utilities.
So I've got to ask you, what's all this about proceduralism? What does that word mean to you?
So in the US, especially when we think about infrastructure planning, we have allowed the perfect to become the enemy of the good. We will allow for study process to drag out years and years and years because one party says, I want to ask one more question. Imagine a criminal justice system where anybody from the public could say, I have a question I want to inject into the case. And that forced the court to keep the proceeding dragging out forever. That's essentially what we have in a lot of environmental planning for energy infrastructure. And that means we're not building the transmission lines that we need to build. That means that we're building things at higher cost because it takes longer to build. And we're not keeping up. Rates are going up. As rates rise, electrification actually becomes less cost effective. We're helping the fossil fuel industry by not building more transmission and more energy generation.
So what do we do about it? But I agree with you. I think it's that represents most countries around the world at the moment. It's a difficult balance, isn't it? Because there is the not to get too philosophical about it, but property rights are sacred, right? So if you own property and your property is impacted by something, then you have a right to have a say on it. But on the other hand, we got to build stuff. We got to build stuff real quick.
I think the Texas model is a really good one for more states to think about. I live in California, and this will not be my controversial statement, but it is a controversial thing to say. And it's that states like California that have done such great work to advance clean energy need to start thinking more like Texas. They need to just get out of the way of innovators who want to build things, make it easy to connect to the grid, make it easy to permit on your abundant land in the desert. And people will build those things, and they'll build them cheap. And then as they build them, you will displace natural gas. You will displace coal because solar and storage in particular are just better. They're just faster. They're just cheaper.
Yeah, so California needs to be a bit more Texas. When I lived in Texas, that was the mantra. Everybody needs to be a bit more Texas.
Not on everything, but I think on energy infrastructure, I think California could learn a thing or two.
Well, that feels like a good place to ask you about your contrarian view then. So what is it that you believe that not a lot of other people believe?
As somebody who's worked in the energy transition space my whole career, I now believe we should stop talking about the energy transition. Talking about it as a transition that is going to happen or needs to happen suggests that we're not already there, that there's somehow a choice. There is no choice. The die has been cast. We are electrifying our economy. Maybe not necessarily in the U.S. in the current administration, but look at the types of cars that are being adopted everywhere in the world. It's electric vehicles. They're just beating ICE cars hands down. It is solar and storage being deployed at massive scale all over the world. It is happening. And so we need to move away from talking about the energy transition, just talking about a term that the folks at Ember have come up with. I really like it. The electrotech transition. We're moving from relying on the molecule to relying on the electron as our primary source of fuel. And the sooner we sort of focus on that being the inexorable march forward, I think we start to put down some of the political dynamics that exist when talking about something as a transition that may happen.
This is music to my ears. I actually wrote a blog post. I didn't know you were going to say that. I wrote a blog post in 2019 called "Why We Need to Stop Talking About the Energy Transition" for that exact reason. Although I used some different words, I totally agree with you. I mean, if you focus so much. What we need to focus on is the energy abundance and the low-cost power and all of the incredible societal value that comes out of that. The problem with focusing on the transition is it inherently brings top-of-mind trade-offs and compromise. And I think that undersells what the opportunity is here.
I also think this is the case in California, this is the case in so many parts of the world, that we have let the pursuit of 100% renewables get in the way of really important progress to decarbonize other sectors.
Yes.
So 65%, 70% renewables with mass adoption of electric vehicles is just a better climate outcome and local air pollution outcome than 100% renewables and electricity that is, you know, going to be more expensive and lower adoption of electric vehicles. And so thinking about these things holistically, thinking about really emphasizing the consumer products that are electrified that are better, electric cars, induction cooktops, getting people excited about the fact that their lives are going to be better in the electrotech future, is something that, you know, we have to do.
Absolutely. Very much agree with you. So I want to say a massive thank you, Nick, for joining us on the podcast.
It's so been fun.
A pleasure to have you on.
So fun.
Big fans of Constantine. Thank you again for bringing the lovely soft toy. And I'm really interested to see how you guys get on for coast-to-coast coverage in the US. Really excited to see what Octopus can do to the retail environment here.
Thank you very much. Really great.
Thank you very much.
All right.